الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم وأبارك على سيدي وحبيبي وقائدي محمد بن عبد الله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. من اهتدى فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل الله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Wallahi, brothers, I want to begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is nothing like Islam. We begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the gifts that Allah gave us, this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The gift of Islam, the gift of Iman, the gift of Quran, the gift of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to thank the organizers of this event, Queen Mary, ISOP. We should remember the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ when he says, لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ مَا لَا يَشْكُرُ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Whoever does not thank the people has not thanked Allah, or he has not thanked Allah, whoever has not thanked the people. Allah also describes in the Quran, أَعْوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وأتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. There is one individual that Allah describes so uniquely in the Quran, and it's Ibrahim عليه السلام. And Allah describes him in a way that Allah describes no one else in the Quran. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan. Ibrahim alayhi salam was an ummah. He was a nation, a community in and of himself. By himself he was a nation. Qanit, he was obedient to Allah. Hanif, so committed to la ilaha illallah. Walam yakun min al-mushrikeen, he was not one of those who associated partners with Allah. شَاكِرًا لِأَدْعُمِهِ, he was so grateful to Allah, so thankful to Allah for the favors Allah bestowed upon him. اجْتَبَاهُ, Allah selected and chose him. وَهَدَاهُ, and guided him to the straight path. And Allah gave him goodness in the dunya. And in the akhirah he will be one of those who are with the pious people. Ibrahim alayhi salam is so unique. His example is so unique that he is coupled with our Prophet being uswatun hasana, being a unique and a good example for people. Ibrahim alayhi salam is so unique. We know his story, his traveling, his sacrifices, his sense of isolation in his community, his battle against shirk with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim alayhi salam is also unique because he's a prophet and one of the great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what about those other people who are not prophets of Allah, who are not messengers of Allah, who don't have that distinct stamp of approval by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about those other kinds of people? We turn the pages of history and we find other people who are like ummah, who are also like nations. And we ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, are we one of those kinds of people? Are we like an ummah? Are we like a community in and of itself? Allah describes Ibrahim alayhi salam, شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ, he was so grateful to his Lord. Were there other people who were so grateful to their Lord? What about the example, brothers and sisters, of Urwa, of that small individual, Urwa bin Zubair, and what a unique person he was. Urwa bin Zubair, whose brother was Abdullah ibn Zubair, whose father was Zubair ibn Awam radiyallahu anhu, whose mother was Asma bint Abi Bakr radiyallahu anha. What a unique individual that person was, who grew up, and once the Khalifa invited him to Damascus, he took his children to Damascus, and whilst he was there, his son was playing with the horses, and the horse kicked his child, and the child died. Urwa dug a grave for his own son, and he went down grave. And as he was in the grave, he developed some kind of infection and ulcer, a swelling on his foot. He came out, doctor said, you're going to have your leg amputated. What does Urwa bin Zubair say? If I'm going to have my leg amputated, I will have my leg amputated whilst I'm in salah. I will have my leg amputated whilst I'm praying to Allah. Because there is no sweeter state that I'm in. No sense of serenity, no sense of peace that I experience in my life, except when I'm standing before Allah. The curtain is lifted, it's only me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they agreed to his request. His leg was amputated. A few days after, his son died. And the people came to give their condolences to him. Said, Urwa, subhanallah, we don't know what to say to you exactly. You've lost your son and you've lost your limb. And he says, فَلَكَدْ وَهَبَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْبَنِينَ ثُمَّ أَخِذَ مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَأَبْقَى لِي ثَلَاثَ فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. Indeed, Allah gave me four children. Indeed, Allah took one away from me. And for that, indeed, I praise Allah. Allah left me three. Allah gave me four, took one, left three. For that, I praise Allah. وَأَعْطَانِي أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الْأَطْرَافِ. Allah gave me four limbs. ثُمَّ أَخِذَ مِنْهُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَأَبْقَى لِي ثَلَاثَ فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. Allah took one, left three, for that I praise Allah. لَنْ أَخِذَ اللَّهُ مِنِّي قَلِيلٌ فَلَقَدْ أَبْقَى لِي كَثِيرٌ. If Allah ever took something from me, He always left so much more for me. If Allah ever gave me a tribulation, you should know that most of the time Allah allowed me to enjoy myself. Brothers and sisters, ask yourself, how grateful are you really to Allah for everything Allah gave us? Starting with the gift of Islam, the gift of Iman, the gift of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gift of the Quran, the gift of being this ummah which is the envy of the prophets before us, being the last ummah, but the first ummah to enter Jannah. What a unique case. How thankful are we for our life? The air that we breathe, our health, our money, our parents, our children. How thankful are we really to Allah? Shakiran li an'amihi, he was thankful to Allah. How grateful was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We used to pray the entire night and his feet would become swollen. And Sayyidina Aisha would say, Ya Rasulullah, atasna hadha, you're doing that even though you know Allah has forgiven your sins, past, present and future. And he would reply and say, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be then a grateful servant to Allah? Teaching us, do we just sit back, brothers, that we have this kind of, we are from the ummah. So what does that mean, that we just sit back, we do nothing for it? Or do we exert our efforts to show our gratefulness and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It was Urwa bin Zubair who once said, Ya Bunay, my son, تَعَلَّمُوا لَأَنْ فَإِنَّكُمْ إِنْ تَكُونُوا مِنْ صِغَارَ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكُونُوا كِبَارَهُمْ. Because if you're ever from a small nation, if you're ever from a small community, you should be the best of them. You should be the greatest of them. And how many people do we find like that? People who are so distinct, who are so unique, that their examples will remain with us until the end of time. Because they had a characteristic, they had a trait, they were recognized by something. What about the example of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu? How do we recognize him? How was he recognized even by Sahaba? كان دقيق الساقين. He was recognized as a thin individual. Right, as a skinny person. His legs were so thin. He was once on a tree and the wind, فَجُعْلَتْ الْرِيحْ تَكْفُؤُهُ, the wind blew him. Right, he was about to fall off the tree. His legs were uncovered. فَضَحْكَ الْقَوْمُ, and the people began to laugh. And the Prophet of Allah walked past, he said, مِمَّا تَضْحَكُونَ, what are you guys laughing at? And they said, مِنْ دِقَّةِ سَاقَيْهِ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, we're laughing at the thinness of his legs, O Prophet of Allah. And he replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ, by him in whose hand is my soul.
لهما أثقل في الميزان من أحد. Those two legs of his are more heavy on the scale than Mount Uhud. Those two thin legs of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud are more heavy on the scale than Mount Uhud. Why? Because every pound of flesh of this man carried purpose. Every pound of flesh of this man was meaningful. Every pound of flesh of this man's legs went to places that was worthy of going to. Every pound of flesh of this man was purposeful. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of the four. Iqra'ul Qur'an min arba'atin nasr. Take Qur'an from four people. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Salim Mawla bi Hudhayfa and Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu. He was from the Ahlul Qur'an. Are we from the Ahlul Qur'an? Are we from the people of Qur'an? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was the one who said, يَنَّغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ بِلَيْلِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ نَائِمُونَ وَبِنَهَارِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ مُفْطِرُونَ وَبِحُزْنِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ يَفْرَحُونَ وَبِبُكَائِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ يَضْحَكُونَ. You should be recognized. You should have some characteristic about you. By the Book of Allah, in the night when the people are asleep, in the morning when the people are eating, in your sadness when the people are rejoicing, in your tears when the people are laughing, in your silence when the people are going on and on, be recognized by the Book of Allah. Hasan al-Basri would say, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ رَأَوُوا الْقُرْآنَ رَسَائِلًا مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who came before you, they would think the Qur'an was messages, letters from their Lord. فَكَانُوا يَتَدَبَّرُونَهَا بِاللَّيْلِ وَيُنَفِّذُونَهَا فِي النَّهَارِ. And so they would contemplate on those verses in the night and they would act them out in the day. Brothers, when do we open the Book of Allah? Is it when someone has died, even though the Quran is primarily for the living? When is the last time we read the Quran? Is it just for the sake of someone who's died, even though the Quran is primarily for the living? The Quran was revealed, brothers, to take us out min al-zulumati ila an-nur. We are traversing in this life from the darkness of the wombs of our mothers into the light of the dunya. And from the light of the dunya to the darkness of the grave. And from the darkness of the grave to the light of either the fire or the light of the garden. That's it. مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. From darknesses into light. The Quran was revealed to take humanity out from darknesses into light. This is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is his characteristic. This is what he was known for. This is who he was, an ummah in and of himself, because of his trait, because of his characteristics. You see, he was daqiq al-saqain, he was thin-legged. Once during the conquest of Syria, one of the non-Muslims came and he said, جِئْتُكَ مِنْ عَنْدَ رِجَالٍ جِقَاقٍ يَرْكُبُونَ عِتَاقًا. They were coming to open, liberate Syria. And the Christian man said, you know, I've seen a people who are lean, many of whom are just thin individuals. رِجَالٍ دِقَاقٍ يَرْكُبُونَ عِتَاقًا. Even their horses are thin. Even their horses are lean. أَمَّا اللَّيْلِ فَرُهْبَانٌ وَأَمَّا النَّهَارِ فَفُرْسَانٌ. These people are so special. In the night they're like monks, but in the morning they're like knights on their horses, fighting and liberating. لَوْ حَدَّثْتَ جَلِيسَكَ أَحَدًا حَدِيثًا مَا فَهِمَهُ عَنْكَ. If one of you was to sit with one of these people, you wouldn't understand anything he's saying. لِمَا عَلَى مِنْ أَصْوَاتِهِمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ وَالذِّكَرِ. Because of what's coming from these people's mouths, from the Qur'an and from dhikr. فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ. Then he turned to his companions and says, you guys have no power against the thing that has come to them. What has come to them? Qur'an. What has come to them? Sunnah. What has come to them? Iman. What has come to them? Sabr. What has come to them? Shukr. What has come to them? Tawakkul. Trust in Allah. You have no power against them. أَمَّا اللَّيْلِ فَرُهْبَانٍ. In the night they're like monks, but in the morning they're like knights. If you sat with them, you wouldn't understand anything they're saying, because the only language they understand is the language of the Quran. That's their conversation. What do we spend our time talking about, brothers and sisters? What do we spend our time talking about? Is it about the people? إِيَّاكَ بِذِكْرِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهُ دَاءٌ وَعَلَيْكُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ الشِّفَاءُ. Sayyidina Umar says, beware of remembering people, because that's your disease. And upon you is to remember Allah, because that's your cure. What do we spend our time doing? What do we spend our time talking about? Because those people spent their time remembering Allah, reading Quran, reflecting upon Quran, trying to understand Quran. That's what made them so unique. Salahuddin was described by one of the ulama. He didn't understand لا يفهم إلا لغة القرآن. He didn't understand any language except the language of the Quran. When Heraclius asked his people, أخبروني عن هؤلاء القوم الذين يقاتلونكم. Tell me about those people that you're fighting. أليسوا بشرا مثلكم. Are they not men like you are? They said, بلى, they're men like us. أفأنتم أكثر أم هم. Are they more in number than you, or are you more than them? بل نحن أكثر. No, we're more than them. So why are you guys losing then? Why are you guys being defeated then? And so one of their great men came and said, I'll tell you one. من أجل أنهم يقومون الليل ويصومون النهار. Because those people were fighting, they spend their nights standing for prayer, and they spend their days fasting. ويتصافون بينهم. And they're all equal in the sight of one another. ويكون العهد. And they fulfill their trust and their promises with Allah. ويأمرون بالمعروف. And they command to the good. وينهون عن المنكر. And they forbid the evil. ويكون العهد. They fulfill their trust, brothers. Are we recognized as a truthful people? As an honest people? Do people see us as an honest people, or we are betray everyone? Break our trust. Can't keep our secrets. The secretary of Salahuddin called Imad al-Din Isfahani once said to him, when the Christians were leaving Jerusalem, you know what, Salahuddin? We promised that people could take their wealth, let them take their wealth. But we never promised them that they could take the wealth from their churches, which equals 200,000 dinars. Let us keep this wealth. Let them take their own money, but we will keep the wealth of the churches. Salahuddin says, listen, we could do that, because they don't even understand the terms that they've met with us. But if we did that, they would accuse us of treachery. They would accuse us of betrayal. They would say, these Muslims haven't even kept their trust with us. So for that sake, we would not do that. Look at the kind of integrity there. When Christians were leaving Jerusalem, Salahuddin and his entourage, his army, saw the Christian squires riding on the horses, and the Christian elderly are walking behind them. Salahuddin commanded his men, take these squires off their horses and make them walk, and place these Christian elderly men on the horses. Because he couldn't bear seeing this in front of them, even though they were Christians. But this is about adl, this is about justice. Look at the advice of this man to his son Az-Zahir. When the son was leaving, he came back to see his father. When Salahuddin is about to die, he leaves a will for his son. My son, I command you to obey Allah, because that is the means of your salvation. I command you to obey Allah, because that is the source of all goodness. And I warn you against bloodshed, because blood never sleeps. I warn you against bearing grudges, because death spares no one. Muslims were not a people about bloodshed. We never desired bloodshed. We desired people to live under the Sharia of Allah, sacred law of Allah, but they live in peace. Jews, Christians, Muslims did live together once upon a time in North Africa, in Yemen, in Spain, in Turkey. When the law of Allah was implemented on this earth, it provided justice for the people. Erwin Rosenthal, one of their own Jewish historians, says, the Talmudic age apart, there is perhaps no formative period in our checkered history other than the time we spent in the empire of Islam. It did work, But it only worked when the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla were implemented. One thing Ali found a note in the hilt of the sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that note had in it certain advice. It had written, "Silman qata'ak wa ahsin ila man ata'a ilayk wa qul al-haq wa law ala nafsik." Join ties with the one who breaks ties with you, and be good to the one who is bad to you, and speak the truth even if it's against yourself. Imagine, this is the advice on the in the sword of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It didn't have like these kuffar right on their bombs when they bomb our innocent brothers and sisters in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Palestine, born to kill. Message from so and so. Then they take their children to go and write messages with marker pens on the bombs that they drop on these people. No sense of regard for the humanness or humanity of these people. But on the sword of the Prophet of Allah, join ties with the one who breaks ties with you. Be good to the one who is bad to you. And speak the truth even if it's against yourself. Be an example. Be someone who is recognized. Yeah, the people from Najran, they came and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, ib'ath lana rajulan aminan," send to us a truthful man. He himself was of course al-amin, the truthful one. They said, "Someone else who is truthful like you." He said, "La'ab'athanna ilaykum rajulan aminan, haqqa aminan, haqqa aminan." I will send to you someone who is so truthful. He is so truthful. He is truly truthful. I will send to you. They began to look who he's going to send. فَبَعْتَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ فَبَعْتَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةَ ابْنَ الْجَرَّاحِ. They sent to him. He sent to them Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينًا وَأَمِينُنَا أَيَّتُهَا الْأُمَّةِ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةَ ابْنَ الْجَرَّاحِ. Every nation has its truthful one. And the truthful one of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. What a unique person. What a mountain in by himself. What a nation by himself. That when Sayyidina Umar was Khalifa, he addressed his crowd, "Tamanna, make a wish." A man stood up and said, "I wish I had this room full of gold and rubies and diamonds, and I would use all of that in the cause of Allah." He sat down again. He says, "Tamanna, make a wish." Man said, "I would wish I had this whole room full of this and that. I would use all of that for Allah's sake." He says, "Tamanna, make a wish." The man got up and said, "We're fed up of making wishes. You make a wish, O Umar." Umar says, "If I was to make a wish, أَتَمَنَّ هَذِي الْغُرْفَةَ تَكُنْ مَمْلُوَةً بِأَمْثَالِ أَبُو عُبَيْدَةَ ابْنِ الْجَرَّاحِ." I wish this room was full of men like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Brothers and sisters, who do we need in this time? Is it that we need money because we're so poor? It's not that. We need men and women. We need men and women who are truthful. Men and women of integrity. Men and women from this ummah who can be like an ummah by themselves. One thing Umar recited, read, "Kana Mu'adh ibn Jabal ummatan, qanitan." Mu'adh ibn Jabal was an ummah. And a man corrected him, said, "No, inna Ibrahim, kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa." It was Ibrahim alayhi salam who was an ummah. What are you saying, O Umar? Umar says, "Ma nasid, I didn't forget that. But the ummah, al-ummah alladhi yu'allima an-nas al-khayr, the ummah is the one who teaches people goodness. Wal-qanit wal-muti, and the qanit is the one who is obedient to Allah. Wa kana Mu'adh ibn Jabal yu'allima an-nas al-khayr." And it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal who taught people goodness. And it was Mu'adh ibn Jabal who was obedient to Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a man! Brothers and sisters, what a man Mu'adh, who was also one of the four Ahl al-Qur'an, people of the Qur'an. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was the one, a man came to him and says, "Mu'adh, alimni, teach me." Because he would teach him for goodness, right? He says, "Teach me." Mu'adh says, "Hal anta muti, will you obey me then?" The man says, "Inni ala ta'atik laharis, I will be so quick to obey you." And so Mu'adh says, "If that's the case, صم وافطر وصلي ونم واكتسب ولا تأثم ولا تموتن إلا وأنت مسلم وإياك ودعوة المظلوم. If that's the case, fast and break your fast. Pray and also sleep and watch yourself and don't make sins and transgression against Allah and don't die unless you're a Muslim. And beware of the dua, of the prayer of the oppressed people. Because between that and Allah, of course, there is no hijab, there is no veil. Simple advice, but transformative advice. Simple things. Brothers, don't think you have to move a mountain. There's no expectation on us to move a mountain. Sayyidina Bilal was asked by our Prophet, he says, Ya Bilal, hadithni. بِأَرْجِ عَمَلٍ عَمِلْتَ وَإِنَّكَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ اللَّيْلَةَ خَشْبًا عَلَيْكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. What have you been doing, Bilal? Tell me, because last night I heard your footsteps in Jannah, Bilal. What have you been doing, Bilal? Because last night I heard your footsteps in Jannah, Bilal. How do you recognize Bilal as the first Muazzin? Isn't that the case? How do you recognize Bilal as one of our stoles? Boulders on his chest. The Abyssinian slave was transformed into Abdullah, the servant and slave of Allah. How do you recognize Bilal? By all of those sacrifices he made. But what did Bilal say? I can't think of anything, Ya Rasulullah. But there's maybe one thing I can think of. And that is that every time I make wudu, I don't do anything after that except I pray two rakats after my wudu. Salah for wudu, I do that, Ya Rasulullah. Something different. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, who was the Faris of Islam, the Knight of Islam. But what was he recognized by afterwards? When the Prophet would say, this man is promised Jannah, time and time again. And the Sahabi followed the man and he slept with him in his house and he spent a day and night with him just to see what's so unique about Sa'd. And it came to pass, of course, Sa'd said, I can't think of anything I do that's different to what you do. You fast, I fast. You pray, I pray. You make jihad, I do that. You give charity, I do that. But maybe this one thing, and that thing is that every day before I sleep, I forgive everyone. I'm not a person of nafs. I'm not a person of ego. I'm not a person who, you know, gets upset by these personal wrongs. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never would get upset by that. He was only angered by the fact that people would transgress the commands of Allah, but not against personal injury and personal wrongs. So sometimes there's other things that we're doing that we think are nothing, but they mean so much in the sight of Allah because they're consistent and they're sincere and they're fused and accompanied, interlaced, intertwined with a strong iman, with a strong sense of hope and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, يعلم الناس الخير. He was an ummah because he used to teach the people goodness. What are we teaching, brothers? What are we teaching our wives, our husbands, our parents, our children? Who are we raising as a next generation? What are we teaching ourselves? Are we teaching the people goodness? It's so upsetting that Sheikh Bilal Phillips didn't come today or hasn't come today because of this Center for Social Cohesion saga. I mean, what did he come here today to tell you people? It wasn't to tell you people to drink yourself to death, or to go home and smoke drugs, or to kick your parents out of their own homes, or to carry knives in the street and be part of the stabbing epidemic. It wasn't that. What is social cohesion? Why don't these people talk about those moral ills in society? About teenage pregnancies, about bullying, about stabbing, about alcoholism, about drinking, about drugs. But they have this witch hunt against Islamic speakers. كان معاذ بن جبل يعلم الناس الخير. He would teach the people goodness. And for that he became an ummah. Brothers and sisters, we need a real profound strength in this time that we're living in. The kind of strength of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, That man was one of the leaders of the Ansar radiallahu anhu. And he came, a man, by himself. When Nabi Sallam wanted advice about the battle of Badr, and Sa'd ibn Mu'ad came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to give a reply to you, and my reply is like the reply of all of the Ansar. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, just do whatever you want to do. Make peace, make war, but we're with you, Ya Rasulullah. Join ties, break relations, we're with you, Ya Rasulullah. Who did Sa'd ibn Mu'ad become because of his sacrifices for Allah? So weighty was he. The hadith of Sahih Muslim says that when Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, on the day he died, ihtazala arsh ar-Rahman, the throne of Allah shook. The throne of Allah shook at the death of a man, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says, I was one of those who buried the man. Every layer of soil I dug, I smelled the scent of Jannah, of paradise. Sa'd ibn Mu'ad was that man later on when the people gave a gift of silk to Prophet ﷺ. Sahaba, they came, began to touch the silk and they were so impressed at its softness. And he said, أَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ هَذَا, are you impressed by the softness of this silk? وَاللَّهِ لَمَنَادِيلُ سَعْدِ بْنِ مُعَادِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنْهَا وَأَلْيَنَ. By Allah, the handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, its Jannah is softer than that. Who did the man become? Who can we become? By offering our services for Allah. By offering our services to His Messenger in His defense, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By offering our services to Islam. By being one of those who are at the back, no one ever sees us. But being at the front where people can see us. We are at the front of our offering our services to Allah. Who can we become so weighty in the eyes of Allah? Who did people become before us? Brothers, people who were not even known in society. People who had disabilities, ailments, illnesses, nothing held them back from serving Allah's cause. Men like Julaybib, who really was a mountain by himself, was an ummah by himself. Why? Because Julaybib, you see, was dwarf-like in appearance. He was so short, people were repelled by his appearance. No one wanted to go around Julaybib because they were just put off by the way the man looked. Julaybib, this kind of isolated man in society, no one wants to be his friend. We should just sit in the corner. He was approached by the khayra khalqillah, the best creation of Allah, who said, Julaybib, are you married? Julaybib said, O Messenger of Allah, how do you expect me to get a wife? I can't even get a friend. No one wants to befriend me, let alone share intimacy with me, be my wife. I don't even have a friend, Ya Rasulullah. People are repelled by my appearance, they run from me. Which woman is going to come to me and want to be my wife, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet goes and knocks on one house of the Ansar, and the woman, the man opened the door and said, you know, Prophet said, I want to marry your daughter off. And the man thought that it was for him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, ah, of course, O Prophet of Allah, we would marry our daughter off to you. He said, not for me, it's for Julaybib. He said, I could go and ask the missus if that's the case. Right? Like it happens. I could go and ask the missus if that's the case. And he goes inside to his missus and says, dear missus, the Prophet wants to marry our daughter off. And she had the same assumption, then jubilant, we would marry our daughter off to him. And he said, no, it's not for him, but it's for Julaybib. And she said, we would marry our daughter to anyone except Julaybib. Bring any man, and he can marry our daughter. But Julaybib, not on earth will he marry our daughter. Now this pure woman, really mu'mina, qanit, pure woman was listening to this conversation. And she said, hold on, parents. Just hold your horses for a second. And she quoted the ayah from the Quran where Allah says, hold on, it's not befitting for the believer to have an opinion when Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter. If he wants me to marry Julaybib, I will marry Julaybib because no harm can come from this marriage. Julaybib was married to this pure woman. Julaybib was killed. Right? We hear another report from him. I can't think of anything in the interim, but we hear a report where Julaybib is killed. And the people, the Prophet comes and says, you know, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَهْلِ, are you missing anyone? They said, yes, we are, fulan, fulan, fulan. This, that person. Again, are you missing anyone? They say, yeah, this, that person. Again, are you missing anyone? They say, no. He said, what? وَلَكِنِّي أَفْقِدُ جُلَيْبِي. As for me, I am only missing جُلَيْبِي. Right? This one that you are repelled by. This one no one wants to look at. This one no one wants to marry. No one wants to befriend. Who am I missing? He is رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Don't forget, brothers and sisters. He is a mercy for the whole of mankind. For everyone. I'm only missing جُلَيْبِي. فَطْلِبُوهُ. Go and find him. They found him lying dead among seven bodies. He killed them, he was killed. The Prophet approached him and said, this man had a minni wa ana minhu. This man, I am from him and he is from me. This man had a minni wa ana minhu. He is from me and I am from him. Brothers, none of us have that stamp by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Julaybi does have that stamp. None of us have that stamp. But that one who was dwarfed like in appearance has that stamp by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَوَضَوَ عَلَى سَعِدَيْهِ لَيْسَ لَهُ سَرِيدًا إِلَّا سَعِدًا. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was placed on the arms of the Prophet of Allah. Julaybib had no pillow that day except the arms of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Julaybib was an ummah because it's only an ummah that is carried by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah carried Julaybib, and the Prophet was come to carry this ummah. He carried Julaybib. Julaybib was like an ummah. I want to speak today, brothers, about some women. Because it's not only men who become like mountains or become like an ummah, but it's also women. I mean, who are these great Sahaba without their mothers? Right? Without their wives, without Khadija radiallahu anha, do we think for a moment that the fright and the trauma of that first experience in the cave, the Prophet was in fact scared. He said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. Wrap me around with a cloth. لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. Because I'm fearing for myself. She said, Ya Rasulullah, O Muhammad, La yakzik Allah, Allah will never do that to you, O Muhammad, because you're someone who is kind to the guest, who is good to the poor. What a woman, that same woman. You know, Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, Ya Rasulullah, Hadhi Khadija, Khadija is coming to you. She has a bowl of soup. فَإِذَا يَأْتَتْكَ فَقْرَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنْ رَبِّهَا عَزَّ وَجَلْ. When she comes to you, give her the salam of Allah and my salam. وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا صَخَبٍ مِنْهَا وَلَا نَصَبٍ. Give her the glad tidings of a palace in Jannah made of pearls. She would have no turmoil in that place. She would have no toil in that place. That's Khadija. But I want to speak about today about two Asma's, Asma bint Umayth radiallahu anha. Who is Asma bint Umayth radiallahu anha? Asma bint Umayth was that woman who was the wife of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and then the wife of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and the wife of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum jamia. Asma bint Umayth was the one that Sayyidina Umar approached and said, Oh Asma, sabaqnaakum bil hijrah. We have preceded you in the hijrah. فَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِرَسُولِ سَلَمْ مِنْكُمْ. So we have more right to the Prophet ﷺ than you do. And she said, Oh Umar, Kalla, no. La wallah, no. By Allah. He was with you when he would feed your poor. وَيَعِذُ جَاهِلَكُمْ. And he would teach your ignorant ones. And we were in the land, Al-Bu'adal al-Bughawa, we were in a far land, or a harsh land, Abyssinia. She said, Oh Umar, I am not going to eat food. Wala shirbu sharab, and I'm not going to have a drink until I've told what you've said to me, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She went and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what Umar is actually saying. Is it true that they have more right to you than we have? And she said, and he said to her, no, it's not true. They don't have more right than you do.
وَلَهُ وَلِأَصْحَابِهِ هِجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ Him and his companions have one migration. وَلَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ أَهْلَ السَّفِينَةِ هِجْرَةً As for you people, you have two migrations. You, the people of the ship, migrated from Mecca to Abyssinia, and you migrated from Mecca to Medina. You have two migrations for Allah's sake. Brothers, let me ask myself, and I ask you, where is our migration to Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Have we migrated from disobedience to obedience? Have we migrated from sin to obedience? Have we migrated from ithm? Have we migrated in our hearts? Have we migrated to Allah? Have we migrated to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we have that migration on our scale? The other Asma was Asma bint Abi Bakr. What a woman she was! Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, of Urwa, this boy, this man who has lost a son, this was his mother, Mus'ab ibn Zubayr. Those children, their father was Zubayr ibn Awam. This is his wife, Asma bint Abi Bakr, that and Nataqin, the woman of the two waist belts, who helped during the Hijrah by going and giving food to the Prophet ﷺ and his companion Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But how was this woman known, brothers? Later on in life, she was 97 years old. And there was a tyrant, a murderer from Thaqif, Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Right? Usurper, tyrant, tyrannical ruler. And he was contesting authority from Abdullah ibn Zubayr. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr went to see his mother, an old woman, blind. And says, my mother, I'm so scared that I've come to you. I need advice, my mother. His mother says, Ya Bunay, my son, anta a'lam bi nafsik, you are more discerning, more aware yourself. In kunta ta'lam annaka ala al-haq, fasbir alayhi, وَلَا تَمُوتْ وَحَتَّى تَمُوتْ فِي سَبِيلِهِ If you think you're put upon the truth, وَتَدْعُوا إِلَى الْحَقِّ And that you're calling for the truth, then be patient for the truth, until you die for the truth. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ أَرَدْتَ الدُّنْيَا But if you think that you're someone who wants the dunya, if you think you're someone who wants the dunya, then what a hopeless and sad person you are. أَهْلَكْتَ نَفْسَكَ You have destroyed yourself. وَأَهْلَكْتَ مَنْ قُتِلَ مَعْكَ And you've destroyed whoever is killed with you. Then he comes and he hugs his mother. He says, Mother, I only asked you because I have a firm resolve. But I wanted to see if my resolve was like your resolve, my dear mother. He hugged his mother. His mother felt metal on the body of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. She said, My son, what's this metal on your body? He said, This is for my protection, oh mother. She said, if a person is really looking for shahada, he wouldn't have this metal on him. He takes the metal off. Abdullah ibn Zubayr is slaughtered, is killed, is decapitated. His head is placed on a high place for the people to laugh at him. Once Hajjaj comes and says, bring me this woman. She said, I heard you are that and Nataqin, you're the woman of the two waist belts. Is that true? She said, that's true. But I'll tell you something else that's true. We were told that the two people would come from Thaqif, a liar and a murderer. We know the liar, Musaylima al-Kadhab, the false prophet. And we also know the murderer now, it's you. He said, what do you think of my act? He said, all I can say is that you have destroyed my son's dunya. You have destroyed his dunya. Right? You have ruined his dunya. But I can also say that he's destroyed your akhirah. I can also say he's ruined your akhirah. He's messed up your akhirah because of your zulm against him. Where Asma bint Umais was known for hijratan, for two migrations. Asma bint Abi Bakr was known as Khatimatul Muhajirina wal Muhajirat. She was the seal, the last of all the Muhajirin. She was the last one to die.
97, 98 years old, she was the last one to die. Brothers and sisters, where is our migration to Allah, to His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Remember who you are. You are those people coming back from Uhud. The Prophet began to cry. They said, "Fanada, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Ma yabkik, ya Rasulullah, why are you crying?" He said, "Ishtaqtu li ikhwani, I'm missing my brothers." They said, "Awalafna ikhwanak ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, "No, you see, antum ashabi, you're my companions. Amma ikhwani, as for my brothers, faqawmun yatuna min ba'di, there are people who come after you, after me. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِي وَلَمْ يَرَوْنِي, you see, they believe in me, but they didn't even see me. إِخْوَانِي, those people, what kind of people? Towards the end, he said, there was coming upon you days. الصَّابِرُ فِيهَا عَلَى دِينِكَ الْقَابِدْ عَلَى الْجَمْنِي, was one who is patient in his religion, is one who is going to hold cold. It will be so hard to keep your principles, to keep your religion, to not sell out, to not give in, to be firm and loyal. We are loyal to the Sharia of Allah. Yes, Allah does have His sovereignty. All sovereignty belongs to Allah. Sovereignty is in the laws of Allah. We believe that. There's no separation of politics in our religion. We don't sell out, we don't give in. In spite of the hardship, yes, we believe in the caliphate. Yes, we believe in Sharia. We believe in all of that. We don't sell out, we don't give in. الصابر على ديني كالقابض على الجمر, with only one hot coal. Hot coal is like hot, it will burn you, it's hard. للعامل فيها أجر خمسين رجلا, for the one who is عامل فاعل, who is a worker in that time, a worker for Islam in that time, he will have the reward of 50. يعمل مثل عمله, who act like he has acted, who are doing like he's doing. Sahaba are amazed. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, you mean minhum 50 people, like one of their 50 people?" قال بل منكم, no, in fact 50 of your people, like 50 of your people, right? This is the reward, this is the incentive for us, this is who we are. I have to end, but I'm going to end just quickly with the case of another woman, Ma'bad radiallahu. What a woman she was. What do we know about Ma'bad and Abu Ma'bad? A woman who the Prophet encountered during his hijrah when they were so hungry, and she had a tent, right? And she had some livestock and she was milking, but there was no milk. And so he put his hands on the udder and the milk began to flow. It was a miracle. Abu Ma'bad came home when the Prophet and Abu Bakr had left. And he was amazed, like a miracle. Where did this milk all come from? And then he recited some poetry and said, جَزَاللَّهُ وَرَبَّ النَّاسِ خَيْرَ جَزَائِهِ رَفِيقَيْنِ قَالَا خَيْمَةُ مَعْبَدٍ لَهَا نَزَلَهَا بِالْهُدَى وَاهْتَدَتْ بِهِ فَقَدْ فَازَ مَنْ أَمْسَى رَفِيقَ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah reward them, those companions. They brought Hidayah to this tent of Ma'bad. And he said, فَقَدْ فَازَ مَنْ أَمْسَى رَفِيقَ مُحَمَّدٍ. Whoever goes to sleep at night, whoever whose evening comes upon him, and he is a friend of Muhammad, then he is successful and he has succeeded. And there was a miracle about this poem, because Asma, when she was a small girl, says, you know, we could hear this poem ringing in our ears when we were in Makkah. The mushrikeen thought it was jinn. And Asma said, when I heard these words, I had a feeling that the Prophet and my father are safe. Brothers and sisters, Islam is safe. Islam is well. Allah is protecting this religion. But it's us who we have to worry about. It's yourself who you have to worry about. Are you sleeping? Will the night come upon you? And you are a friend of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because if you are, then there is success in that. Then you are successful. من الفائزين, from those who are victorious. Are we of those who are amilin, workers in this time? May Allah make us, all of us, an ummah in and of ourselves. May Allah make us weighty. May Allah make every pound of flesh on our body, pound of flesh that carries purpose and carries weight. We want to be of those. May Allah have mercy on us and have mercy on the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah help the Muslimin wherever they are. May Allah help the orphans of this ummah, the elderly of this ummah, the weak of this ummah, the poor of this ummah. May Allah help those who are struggling in the cause of Allah with their lives, with their wealth. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive all of us and grant us firdaus and save us from the fire. And may Allah send peace and blessings and prayers upon His beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakallah khair.